Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Abraham lets his nephew Lot pick the land he wants and agrees to take what's left over. Like candy before a baby, the offer is too good for Lot, who rashly chooses the best, even though it would lead to ruin. Today, learning that God gives his best to those who leave the choice with him. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. In a series on strength for the journey, Pastor Lutzer is in Genesis chapter 13. In this third message, A Costly Faith, Lot chooses for himself, finding unintended consequences.
I want everyone listening at this point, especially the young people, the teenagers. But if you're younger than that, you listen. And if you're older than that, I want you to listen even more carefully. There's a phrase there in verse 11 that every Bible should have underlined. It says, Lot chose for himself. Wow. And in those four words, you have the destruction of many a life. The tragedy of many a life can be found in those four words. He chose for himself. And that's the whole story. We think of some of the terrible marriages that have taken place because someone decided that rather than consulting God, he would choose for himself. We think of some of the bad business arrangements and the bad business ethics that people have stooped to because they would choose for themselves. We think of the entertainment that some people get into and the addictions that come as a result of that because somebody said, I'm going to choose for myself. And their lot experienced the law of unintended consequences. Suppose we were to interview Lot and we'd say, Lot, tell us why you made the decision. He'd say, well, number one, opportunity. What a great opportunity my uncle is giving me. And furthermore, I don't feel guilty because, you know, he told me to make the choice. Opportunity. Secondly, prestige and position. Because later on, he's going to be there in Sodom. And he's going to have a position in Sodom. He's not going to live in a tent anymore. He's not going to be able to sing, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. He's no longer a pilgrim. He now lives within the city. He's a city dweller. Nothing wrong with being a city dweller, but he was content in Sodom and received prestige in Sodom. But unintended consequences were on the way. There is the story of the president of a large company who was going to build a series of buildings, and so he farmed it out to various bidders, to various contractors. And you know how the process works. The contractor that submits the best bid, probably the lowest cost, with proof that he will do the best job, usually wins. So one of the contractors was going to submit his bid. It was the last day for bids, and he walks into the president's office, and no one is there. The room is empty. So he thinks to himself, I don't know where the president is, and he looks on the desk, and there on the desk, of all things, of the president, is an open bid from his most interesting and greatest competitor. And he thinks to himself, if I could just see the number that he came in on, and if I come in just a little less than that, almost assuredly, I'll get the big business. Problem was that right on that number on the application was a can of soda pop. He thought to himself, what am I going to do? Nobody's around. He walks the hallways. Looks in the office again. The president is nowhere to be found, and he's thinking, should I or shouldn't I? Should I or shouldn't I? So he decided that he would. He decided that what he would do is to lift the can of pop really fast, look at the number, and then put it down. And he does that. And when he does that, hundreds of BBs spill out onto the table and drop onto the floor. That is the law of unintended consequences. When the Bible says that Lot lifted up his eyes and saw and chose for himself, Lot did not realize that entailed in that decision were some terrible, terrible, terrible consequences. Let's look at them. First of all, Lot lost his testimony in Sodom. He's there as a judge at the gate. He's being honored. And when the men surround his house, he's willing to actually give them his daughters for this terrible, terrible kind of perverted sexuality. He's willing to give them his daughters. And when he told his son-in-law, God is going to judge this city, the Bible says they thought he was joking. Wow. No testimony. No altar in Sodom and Gomorrah. He lost his testimony. He lost his family. He lost his wife, who turned back into a pillar of salt. And in the end, he lost his character. He ends up in a cave committing incest with his two daughters. He did not know that all of those things would happen because he chose for himself. Opportunity, prestige, but at what price? Now, it's interesting that Lot succumbed to a very respectable sin. There are some sins that are not respectable. For example, sins of the flesh are generally regarded as not respectable. But sins of the spirit are oftentimes extolled. They are honored. Greed is good, we read. Greed makes capitalism work. Nothing wrong with covetousness, because actually, if you see your neighbor have something, what's wrong with wanting the same thing and working until you get it? Those are sins of the spirit, respectable sins. Back in the days of the Reformation, when Martin Luther was complaining about some of the abuses of the church, a cardinal was sent to him to buy him off. And the cardinal was told, tell Luther to shut up. And in order to encourage him to do that, we'll give him some gold. Use money to bribe him. The cardinal wrote back to the Pope and said, the fool doesn't love gold. The fool doesn't love gold. He couldn't be bought off. It is sometimes those respectable sins that cause tremendous problems in families. Families have been split over inheritances. They've been split because of money. You wave big money in somebody's face, and even a rational Christian can become unrealistic and can become greedy and manipulative. Money has that power. It has the power to seduce, because it makes all of the same promises that God does. I'll be with you in sickness and in health. I'll be with you if the economy collapses. I'll be with you. And so what you have here is Lot choosing in the direction of wealth and power. And look at where he ended. That's the consequences of Lot's choice. What about the consequences of Abraham's choice? Notice that the text says in verse 14, the Lord said to Abraham after Lot had separated from him. You remember chapter 12, verse 1? God says, Abraham, leave your family and your kindred. He didn't leave his dad behind. He brought his dad as far as Haran, and then his dad dies, and then he comes into the land with Lot. And now Lot, strictly speaking, should not have been a part of his entourage. But now that Lot has gone his own way, God and Abraham are alone. And notice what the text has to say about what God gave him. God says to him, verse 14, lift up your eyes. You say, well, Pastor Luther, that's exactly what Lot did. You'll notice it says in verse 10, Lot lifted up his eyes. Both of them lifted up their eyes. What's the difference? Big difference. The difference is this. One of the men lifted up his eyes and saw what he wanted and took it. The other lifted up his eyes and he saw what God gave him. what a difference there is between what you take and what God gives you. So Abraham lifts up his eyes. God says, Abraham, you remember that promise I gave you when you first came into the land? I'm going to expand upon that promise. The Lord says to him, lift up your eyes, look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward, for all the land that you see, I will give it to you and to your offspring forever. I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth, so that if one can count the dust of the earth, your offspring can be counted. Arise, walk in the land. And what does Abraham end up doing? He builds an altar unto the Lord. What a different ending to a story. Notice that God now expands the promise geographically. He says, as far as you can see and as far as you can walk, the land is going to be yours. God expands the promise numerically. He says you can't count the dust of the earth in the very same way. No one is going to be able to count your seed. He even expands the promise durationally. Not sure if there's a word like that, but there is now. God says, I'm going to give it to you forever. Olam in Hebrew. We're going to have to discuss that at some point. God says, I'm giving it to you as a possession. I'm going to even expand the promise experientially. Go ahead and walk along the length and the breadth of the land. Enjoy it. It's going to be yours. And Abraham is going to die without a single square foot belonging to him except that which he purchases to bury himself and his wife and his family. But he dies in faith. He lives with delayed promises.
And you know, my friend, you and I live with delayed promises as well. Promises of resurrection, promises of heaven. They will happen, but they are delayed. You know, in 2009, I had the opportunity to tour the land of Turkey, the seven churches of Revelation to whom Jesus dictated personal letters, and I discovered that there are no visible churches, there are only mosques. And I had a very devout guide tell me, in effect, that Islam's ability to replace Christianity is proof of its superiority. I thought that that made Jesus look weak. So I asked myself, what are those lessons that we can learn from the past for the church in America? Which led to the book entitled The Cross in the Shadow of the Crescent. The subtitle of the book is An Informed Response to Islam's War with Christianity. I think you'll find it helpful. It'll give you insight. It will also build your faith.
Pastor Erwin Lutzer with part two of A Costly Faith, the third of 10 messages on the life of Abraham in a series called Strength for the Journey. Next time, more on Abraham's expanded promise from God after Lot fades from the scene. The Cross in the Shadow of the Crescent is a book by Pastor Lutzer analyzing the rise of Islam. This book will be sent with our thanks when you send a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For full information, call us toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for our next Running to Win.